Let's look in our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 13. There are two parables that I want us to look at this evening. Verse 31 of chapter 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I believe these two parables that I've read and you're hearing this evening have to do with growth and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven includes the world. In our parable that we studied this morning, it is stated the field is the world, and this is the place where we work. You and I are supposed to be in the world. We're supposed to live in the world, but not be of the world, and it is here that we are to do the work of God. There are two forces at work in the world today as those who are involved in the kingdom of God. There is the good seed, who are the children of the kingdom, and there are the tares, who are the children of the wicked one. One of these days, there will be the millennial reign, and it will be able to come into existence because Satan is bound for 1,000 years. But how do these two forces in the world, which represents a part of the kingdom of God, how do they grow? I believe that's what these parables teach us that we've read this afternoon. That is, the true churches, or the truth, grows as a tree, while the error that is in the world grows as leaven. I think that's what Jesus is teaching in these two parables, so let's look at them for a few minutes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. A grain here means a single kernel or a single seed. And this is the smallest unit of comparison that is used by the Jews or that I have ever found in the New Testament. If you want to think of small, think of a grain of mustard seed. In fact, it is stated that it is the smallest of all of the seeds. So Jesus is saying in this parable that something that is the smallest of all things grows into something that is greatest. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that he means by this? The word mustard is a plant that grows in Palestine, and as Jesus has said, it grows to considerable size, that is, getting as big as a tree. It's not like the mustard greens that are in our gardens in the wintertime that they die down or freeze out and you have to plant them every year. These are shrubs, is actually perhaps a better word, but they grow into large trees or tree-like structures. They are the least, the micros, and it has to do with magnitude, so therefore it's speaking of that which is small. But when it is grown, that is, when it is matured, when it is grown up, when it's grown as full as it is going to get, then it becomes greatest, mega. So we have micros and mega. Micros in its beginning, megas in its ultimate end. It becomes a tree, a living, growing tree, and the birds of the air come and lodge. The word lodge means to put down a tent. course, that's figurative language. And I believe Jesus is saying from a tiny beginning, the seashores of Galilee, when he organized his church, that in a brief period of time, as we reckon time, Christianity spread over all of the known world and became at one time the greatest of all religions. It is now. Muslim is the most populous religion that there is, and of course we understand that in Christianity there was even false religion. But I believe Jesus is saying that what occurred here with me and my 12 apostles and what happened with this small handful of people has now spread over the entire Roman kingdom and has become a great worldwide religion. I think he's simply saying this is how Christianity will grow. This is how the church will grow. This is how truth will grow. And then the parable contained in one verse of Scripture. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, the reason I say that this is the symbol of evil, I cannot find anywhere in the Bible, Old or New Testament, where leaven is ever used as a symbol for good. The Jews, when they were getting ready to observe Passover, went through an elaborate number of days' work cleaning their house. They scrubbed the walls, they scrubbed the floors to make sure that not even a tiny bit of leaven was left. They scrubbed the kneading bowls. They scrubbed the utensils they cooked with. They scrubbed the utensils they ate out of. They made absolutely, positively, dead certain that not even a single amount of leaven was left, because leaven was a symbol of that which is evil. As we study other verses of Scripture, we know that leaven represents corrupt doctrines, that it represents infectious sin, that it represents false doctrine. So why all of a sudden would Jesus, who was a Jew and understood exactly what leaven had always represented in his life, why would he suddenly use leaven as a symbol of good? I don't think he does. I think he is saying that when evil is introduced into the work of God, when the tares are introduced as the work of Satan, and these are the false institution, that when this occurs, that before the coming of the Lord, that this leaven just about permeates the entire system. And Jesus even asked the question, when the Son of Man returns or cometh, shall he find the faith on the earth? Which signifies that the answer is hardly. It will be here, but it will be very small in its existence. And I realize that the statement is made till the whole was leavened. And I think we can actually say that no New Testament church exists without some leaven. There's always some leaven. But we can purge the leaven out, as Paul said, so that we do not have the lump leaven, but it'll have more leaven introduced. So really, a church has to continually purge out the leaven and to do the things necessary to keep the lump pure. That, I think, is not stretching the figure of speech too far. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, that is, a substance that causes things to ferment, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Satan leavens the truth, our true churches, or the world, however we may want to look at it, and it affects all things. It affects government, it affects education, it affects our human bodies, it affects philosophy, it affects the truth, it affects the church. But the true faith will survive. And Jesus spoke in parables, and he didn't speak in any other way except parables at this point of time. In other words, there was this circumstance that he spoke in parables, and he didn't teach any other way except by parables at this time. Now, at other times in his ministry he did, but at this time The only method of teaching that Jesus used was the parable, and he did it that prophecy might be fulfilled. And the prophecy was, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And a secret is simply that which we would never know unless God himself tells us about it. And I'm sure many of the things that have been taught in these parables are things that we would never have thought of as Christians or human beings or students of the Word of God if Jesus himself had not explained them and taught them to us. So in this, Jesus expounds and exposes truths that have existed since the casting down of the world, but men were never aware of these principles until Jesus articulated them in parabolic form and then explained what they meant, as he did in two of the parables that we've studied, but also gave us the ability to interpret all the other parables by using these others as an example. So we have access to things that God knew and was aware of in the beginning, but the Jews didn't understand it, the Gentiles didn't understand it, but now, because of God's mercy and his revelation to us through this book, we can understand these things that at one time were secret, at one time were referred to as mysteries, and we'll learn more of them as we study the life and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ.